The way I'm going to be divvying this message up, we're actually not going to get into the meat of Caleb until Tuesday night. Everything that I will be bringing to you, Lord willing, tonight is actually introduction into that. But it is much needed, and it will be of great help with us on Tuesday night. But to get a flavor of what I'm looking at, could you please take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 14? It just so happens that in the last week and a half, I read, for my devotions, I read the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. And I'm always challenged by them both. They're two of my favorite places to read. And a lot of it has to do with this man, Caleb. I say a lot of it. There's so much else, but this man surely is one of the high watermarks. So we're just going to read several verses to give us a flavor. Look at verse 6, Joshua 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, for those of you that are not mathematically challenged, how old is that? He's 85. Listen to what he's about to say. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Wow, praise God. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. You know, I love how our calendar works out. I really do. I mean, you know, don't you just look forward to Christmas? Now, you know, in our house, we have a Christmas kid. Her name is Heather. I mean, loves it. I think, you know, right after Dad's birthday, forget Thanksgiving, after Dad's birthday, the Christmas music comes out. And Christmas music is good. I love it. I love Christmas. And I'm telling you, we had such a ball this last Wednesday. You can go on Facebook and you can see a few of our pictures. All 12 grandkids. Now, our house is not that big. It's just under 1,700 square feet. We had 12 grandkids and the parents and two grandparents. And it was funny as all get out. And we invited Brad to come over, and he came. I'm telling you, you ought to watch Brad with kids. You know, I thought, well, maybe he'll feel a little bit like a wallflower. He's in there. And next thing you know, he's playing Uno with these grandkids. And not just once, you know, later on, he's wanting to get the cards out. Hey, look, you know, we're going to play it again. And he gives the kids, you know, little gifts here and there. We had a ball. It was great. We put everybody on the staircase, you know, going up. Have you ever tried to get 20 people to be smiling and look, you know, at the camera all at once? especially, you know, when the youngest one is 2 years old. Boy, it was really something. But anyway, I love Christmas. And then 1 week later, what are we doing? We're turning over the calendar. So we remember at Christmas time rejoicing in this. We have the new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen? And then 1 week later, hey, praise God, we get to celebrate a new year. Except this time, it's a new decade. And what a decade it's going to be. So, you know, I saw this, I thought, man, this is great. You know, here we are at this time. I had planned on preaching another message tonight and then Tuesday. But with the calendar doing what it's doing and looking ahead, we've got the banner for our new theme this next year. We've got all the artwork. You'll see that next Sunday. I put on your bulletin a beautiful picture of the Jordan River. Because I thought, you know what? After reading about Caleb, what we need to do is we need to think about that journey that we take in the Christian life. And then, you know, with Roger, what he preached this morning, I mean, it just goes hand in glove. So I believe this is of God. So by God's grace, I pray that it's a blessing to you tonight. In fact, anybody, if you want my notes, I'll make a copy if you want my notes after this message. But I really would like for you to listen and let's just discern. Amen? You know, when we're not having a special time, Mason. Hey, buddy. There's a plaque out in the foyer. We moved here. What day was it when we got here? Was it a Wednesday when we first moved here? I think it was a Wednesday. And all of a sudden, the shock came to me. I'm a pastor. I mean, I'll never forget the first Wednesday night as pastor. We were here. And it's 1 minute to seven. And I'm, you know, we're talking, you know, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my soul, I'm in charge of this thing. There's nobody going to lead singing. You know, all of a sudden it's like, man, I got to look up some song. But along the line with what Roger was preaching this morning, I thought, I've got to have something to grasp when it comes to a focus, a vision for the ministry here. And it's not that I have been successful in holding to that. I'll guarantee you, I have not. And like Roger was talking about this morning, hey, rededication. Lord, I want to use this time by your grace, you know, go back to Bethel. You know, let's think about this. We've got a limited amount of time, no matter how old you are, it's a limited amount of time. So I was up praying in the middle of the night, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, on Thursday morning, this is what came to my mind. Step, seeking to win the lost, teaching to change lives, all right? Equipping the saints for service, pressing for the prize. At first, that was my mission statement. But then I thought, you know, that's good for the whole church. And then, praise God, years later, when Tim and Megan came back up here, they've been married and such, Megan, Tim, they both took that, expanded on it, and wrote music to it, and now they sing to it. They sing it. Speaking of focus. Excuse me. Speaking of vision, I should say. You know, just a couple of months ago, not even 2 months ago, we had Harold Vaughn here. And Roger, he had a thing on vision, some papers that he left us here. And I thought, this is good because he's big into this thing of vision. I mean, you can get all kinds of books when it comes to vision. The secular world, business world, whatever it might be. And I copied down just a few things. I added this to my message because of this morning. Vision gets you through the fire. I thought that was good. And Harold Vaughn got that from thinking about Joseph. First of all, he had to deal with his brothers. The Lord was giving him visions, you know, and he tells his family about it. And instead of saying, oh, praise God, the Lord's dealing with you, they got angry, they got bitter, they got jealous. And so what happens? Sell him, get him out of our lives. And then secondly, he had to deal with Potiphar's wife. So between those two, what was it that kept Joseph going? When it was time for him to ascend the throne and be under the Pharaoh, he didn't turn around and put to the stake people that had done him wrong. I mean, you look at how he treated his brothers. He had, because of his vision of God, he had a view of, you know, why he was there. The Lord sent me. The Lord sent me to what? The Lord sent me to go through all this. You know, we've got a pastor friend in Nevada right now. In fact, he's been here. His church comes here for the 2-minute warning. This brother, he had a knee replacement with the VA. And so they did it in the middle of this month. And it got infected. In fact, they had to reopen the thing and clean it out. And then, was it Christmas Day, honey? Christmas Day, he can't breathe. He goes back to the hospital. He's got blood clots because of the infection. In fact, he has got one blood clot that goes from his ankle up to his groin. And then one long one elsewhere. He has been going through it. And then they put a PICC line in him like my wife had to give, you know, antibiotics to kill off this infection. And one of the nurses accidentally pulled it out. And they working on getting in. It's been so hard. Been so hard. So if you think of Brother Rick Lynn, pray for him. So you think of people, you think of the times when we go through something. Hey, it's good to read those scriptures. He knoweth the way that I take, isn't it? You know, this world is not my home. This is the worst it gets for us because we have glory waiting for us. I've been listening to Francis Schaeffer. I'd rather listen to him than read him because when I read his books, I got to go over the pages over and over. But he's a challenge to you when it comes to this proper focus about, you know, we're here and why are we here and our God. How shall we then live is a good book of his. And then the God who is there. But anyway, when it comes to vision, Harold Vaughn wrote this. And then he said, I thought this was good. Vision determines destiny. Now this is good. Your vision determines your future. Your vision determines your future. We can talk about God, but if you really don't have a vision of a God-centered life, you're going to float. Off to the side, you know, somewhere. You know, God's just not going to have a whole lot of a foothold when it comes to your will. Your vision determines your future. Your vision determines your associations. So you know what? That's pretty good. You know, birds of a feather truly flock together. I loved being a youth pastor. Now, Roger was a youth pastor as well. I think, Mike Kelly, you've got the young people here at our church. One thing that was interesting, when we would take our young people to camp, you know, you get a couple hundred, maybe up as much as 400 young people, at a camp, you know, like a summer camp someplace, and you're there for games and preaching, such, we would be amazed in 24 hours. I'm right, aren't I? The rebels found the rebels. The spiritual kids found the spiritual kids. You know, the geeks found the geeks. Just all kinds of, you know, they just, but they do. Your association will be determined. Do I really want to serve the Lord? Your vision determines how you spend your time. Now that's interesting. When you stop and you consider, you know, there's so much that can waste our time today. And then your vision determines your duty. You know something? I am sure that there are stories for people, you know, because of their schedule and so forth. They'll be here on Sunday morning and they can't be here on Sunday night. I understand that. Or be here on Wednesday night. But the fact of the matter is, some people truly see church as being an obligation that needs to be checked off and not a family that needs to be nurtured and enjoyed. That's what they see. That's sad, because I go into the book of Acts. You go into the book of Acts. What do you see? You see the family together. With things that are going on in our nation right now, I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. People that have the vision of the future, of our duty, they are the ones that are going to be drawn together, going to be praying for each other. The ones where you're just checking it off, they'll find a reason, they'll find a way to fade away. I can't, well, it's just Linda, it's this with your brother. He's resisting becoming a Christian because of what it would cost him there, right? Do you realize that there was a man, there's an elderly man in his 80s that was a bell ringer for the Salvation Army, was in front of, what is a Target? I can't remember the store. And LGBT employees said, they complained, he makes me uncomfortable. The man had been doing this for 19 years, and they told him to leave and never come back. This just happened this week. That might seem like a little thing, but you start adding it all up. Like I said, if you'll wait for it, I got a 17-minute video. It's our day that's coming. And you know something? We need to understand vision. We need to understand vision. But this is one thing that Harold Vaughn said that goes right in to what we're going to be looking at in the Scripture. Vision is God-given. We don't just come up with something. It comes from this Word of God. It comes from gleaning from His Word. There's a phrase that I'm going to use into the notes, and I'm going to share it with you now. But we'll also talk about it when we get to it in the message. Have you ever heard the phrase, you don't know what you don't know? You've heard of that. Listen, how many of you believe this book is complete? It doesn't need to be added to, right? You don't need the Book of Mormon. You don't need the writings of the Catholic Church. You don't need any of that. It's the Word of God, rightly dividing it. That's what is all here. But what I fear is that we wind up losing we wind up losing some vision. We wind up losing some understanding when we don't dig into it. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is where the searching takes place. Can I ask you a question? How many of you, the Lord has grown you this last year? I'm sure, you know, all of us, you know, we've changed one way or another. But I tell you what, I praise God for this last year. It has been a joy what God has done to my faith, what God has done to my vision. And I'm recognizing that He is going to do more. He needs to do more. I want Him to do more. You've got people that, you know, they're in Christ. They're honestly born again. But here are some people, they're the ones that are coming on Sunday morning, and that's pretty much it. Or even if they come more, well, you know, it's a distraction, it's a thing to do, you know, they've got friends at church, whatever. But then here are people, they have the passion. Again, what Roger was talking about this morning, there is something that they are seeing in the Word that even this person, they've memorized the verses. They know it. I am sure that there are some people here. You have maybe even memorized a verse. But one day, you've read it, you know, 100 times, how many times, whatever. But one day, you hear that verse, and God absolutely opens it up to you, and you see things you have never seen. You know what I'm talking about? That is the key. Vision is God-given. Like He was talking about, you know, from Isaiah. There in Isaiah 53, I got to thinking about Isaiah 6. What, the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, you know, high and lifted up, His train filled the temple, and oh my, it just went from there. Vision is God-given. It's God taking His Word and planting and placing in your heart and in your mind not only the understanding of what needs to take place in your life and mine, but also the vision to keep it going. Now, when it comes to the practical aspects, there's changes that need to be made. When it comes to practical aspects of ministry, it's the same thing. We are going to be adapting, not compromising. We already have. Adapting to what our culture is today, but not compromising. I'm not talking about lowering standards. I'm talking about strengthening our foothold on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's what needs to take place. Vision is God-given. Write this verse down. I love it. Psalm 90. You know the verse, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I need to know. You know, David, God's going to keep opening things up to your mind. By the way, this is David McCloskey. He and I talked before. He came and visited. Praise God. I'm glad he's here. He's just looking out for God, what God's will is for his life. But he was here this morning, and I asked him to come back tonight. Antonio, the same thing, buddy. Let me tell you, you know, God's going to work with you. He'll do it. By the way, God is faithful. Amen? You need to hear that. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I need to know how to spend the next years of my life. But here's the challenge, and we're all going to face them. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but all of us, I would imagine that all of us at one time or another, and maybe even right now, and I am at this very time, we have all had New Year's resolutions. We've all decided, okay, I'm going to give it my best shot. You know, I'm planning. This is what I'm going to do. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da, in the new year, the new decade. And it's true. I mean, you know, sometimes the scale in the bathroom says, you left your plan a while ago. But then there's also times where you look at your Bible and you think, you know what, I left my plan there too. Then also there might be the scheduler, you know, there was one planner that was so popular years ago. Daytimer, you know? And I'm gonna get that. And I do mine on my computer and I love it, you know, I really do. But we think of that when it comes to prayer time. I have a thing on my phone right now. It reminds me of five different goals I ought to have every day as best as possible in my life. And I like it because I wake up and, you know, it's there. The first challenge right there is read your Bible. Okay, got it. You know, prayer time, on and on and on. Be an encouragement to people, you know. Read a book. You know, you're into reading, you know, get out your iPad or get out the book itself, you know, or listen to it. And be reading. And there's a couple of other things as well, three other things. But remember, you know? So here we are. It's going to be January 1st. And we're looking by God's grace. You know, I want to do better. And there's three things that show up. Sin, self, and Satan. And they're absolutely going to drive us nuts, one way or another. You know, we're trying to do, and next thing you know, we're like, you know, Paul in Romans chapter 7, again, mentioned this morning, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. Now it is no longer I, but sin that is within me. We are challenged. Be an example of the believer. So, I looked at Joshua and Judges. And I love reading them. They're great. But it was a challenge to me. Before we get into that, would you please go to 1 Corinthians 15? We're just going to methodically, and I encourage you to write these verses down to remember. You ever been discouraged in your Christian life? Yes. We've all been there. We absolutely have been there. Once again, this book is the answer and the author of the book. In 1 Corinthians 15, we stop and think about this. We need to stop and consider this. As we look into a new year, a new decade, however long the Lord gives us, we need to remember this, and we need to remember it well. The battles of your life have already been won. And that's W-O-N, not O-N-E. The battles for your life have already been won. 1 Corinthians 15, please look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which what? Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the place where people start to struggle. Well, if that is indeed true, and I think of that which I have sought to grow in, or I have sought to leave behind, and man, sometimes I just, you know, I feel like more like Romans 7 than I do 1 Corinthians 15. I understand all that. But understand this. When God makes a statement, our experience does not override God's statement. Can I get an amen? We do not judge God by our experience. We recognize who God is and what kind of God He is and His character by what He says in His Word. And this is part and parcel of it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because this is true, and I, Paul, can tell you this, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So think of that. The battles of your life have already been won. Israel was reminded of this, where their victory came from. Just real quick, 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto God, unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that great? You know, this is where we get so cattywampus. Sometimes we just, we wind up getting something twisted. And we're not sure, you know, well, that just doesn't sound right. And it winds up affecting so much else. I was reading a book. I was reading Chuck Yeager's autobiography. And he was involved in experimental aircraft and such. And he was a fighter pilot during World War II. And he and another pilot, and I'm forgetting that guy's name right now, but his friend, I loved watching him fly. They both had better than 20/20 vision. And so they would see German aircraft coming before other pilots would. But, there was a plane, like so many others, that was being developed. And here they had pilots that, you know, were taking these planes up. And they're checking them out. They're testing them for, you know, different stuff. But on this wing, I think it was one aileron, or both of them on either side. I can't remember exactly. But in one particular place, all the screws went down and they had the nut underneath. But in this one particular place, they had to have the screw going the other direction, because if you had it going that way, well then in certain conditions of pressure where you're pulling up and such, it would lock the flight controls right where they were and you'd auger right in. There was one man working there in the plant, and his view was this. No, it doesn't make sense to put the screw like that. They all need to go down like this. And they wound up losing a couple of test pilots because of this guy's hard-headedness. And he said, I don't know if they ever told this guy how much they cost, you know, the military and families in deaths and lost aircraft. Because, you know, they traced it back to him. He says, I don't know if they told him. See, we can do that to ourselves. Well, you know, surely God doesn't mean thus and so when He has spoken plainly. For instance, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, I just can't see that. You know, I mean, you know, what if I've got unconfessed sin in my life? God's not going to hear my prayer. Wait a minute. How much of your sin was taken care of on the cross? How much? You don't believe that. There's some of you don't believe that, and I'll tell you why. You sin And you think you've gotten into the place where God's not going to hear you. I want you to study that out. My salvation is complete. Come to the Lord about what has happened? Yes, but He hears me because I'm His child. And if anybody wants to talk about that, we can talk about that sometime. But please understand that there are times we shy away from God because we don't think that God is going to hear us. He hears us every time. We go to Him, Lord, I'm turning to You, forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, thank You that You have paid for all my salvation, past, present, and future. How would you like to be taught that you could lose your salvation? Seriously, how many of you know somebody who's taught that? You know, there's never any stability to the life. Never. So first, the battles of our life are already won. Second, we all face the adversaries of life. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. But God is... What does that tell you? See, that tells us that what I'm going through, other people have gone through, including, you know, believers. They've been there and they found the answer in rightly dividing the word of truth. And one of the greatest answers, if not the greatest, is this: God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Don't get hung up on this. I wonder what the way of escape is. He gives it. By the way, my personal opinion is this. The way of escape is Him. It's not a door being someplace. Bam! I'm in His presence. I never leave it, actually. I mean, I'm there. Praise God. He giveth us the victory. I think we read that someplace. He's the way. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then third, you can face the giants in your land. Now, this is what we're going to get into on Tuesday night. And we're looking ahead to this new year, the new decade. Going over, the River Jordan, as we read in 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote about the children of Israel going over, and then other places we read in the Old Testament and such. That's not a picture of death. That's a picture of coming into the promise land. This is where I have all of Christ. I have everything, a complete salvation. But what needs to take place is I need to be renewing my mind. My mind is a place that needs to gobble up truth here and there and here and there. I'm reminded of Pastor Doug Fisher down in San Diego. Great man of God. He's in the Marine Corps. Oh, I forget what unit he was in. But you know, he's unsaved. He's got a woman living with him, you know, and he just, you know, enjoying things. And he gets saved. And he's there. He's reading his Bible. He's loving it. So he comes across, many of you, maybe most of you have probably heard this, me talk about this already. You know, he reads about the word fasting. Goes to his preacher. Preacher, what's that? Fasting. And he explains it to him. Okay, you got it. And he starts practicing fasting. Then he reads another word in the Bible. Fornication. Goes to his pastor. What's that mean? And his pastor tells him, he goes home and tells the girl that he's living with, you're moving out today. You're gone. And I mean, that was it. That's called taking territory in the heart and in the mind. He just starts gobbling it up. He just starts taking it up. Look, there are giants that we wind up, and we're going to see this. When Israel went into the promised land, there are places that they did not take care of the inhabitants like they should have. But Caleb did. Caleb did. Now, I don't know who your giants are, but everybody has giants. There can be the giant of fear, apathy, habit, lust, doubt, betrayal, a relationship gone bad, discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment, and disheartenedness. They're all there. It can be a giant of something that has so discouraged, so hurt. But we can face our giants. Now, there are people that would say, possibly, in their hearts, look, I hear you, but you know something? Every year, I want to do better for God. I make myself a list. I get going on it. And you know something? By the time the middle of February comes along, it's all fallen apart. So, preacher, I appreciate what you're saying, but you know what? It doesn't work for me. That's a lie. That's a lie. It does work because God has called us to a vision. He's given it to us. We are here. We are breathing. We are sitting, standing in this building right now because God has willed it. Amen? And He has given us His will in His Word. We can do that which we are called to do. Now, maybe not as well as somebody else, but we are called. You've ever been discouraged with yourself? I've been there in spades. I mean, big time. But you know, God gave a person by the name of Caleb, and he showed us some things. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you Tuesday night. We just got there. The first point, the promises of God fill the place of surrender and obedience. Joshua chapter 1. That's my, whatever you want to call it, starting out. So thank you so much for coming. I don't know how many of you are going to be here Tuesday night. We're going to have a time of prayer. I honestly thought, I'm trying to think about this or that. We need to have a game night. You know, we need to have something again akin to what we do on Christmas, or no, on the Christmas party. No, we're not going to do anything like that. But, you know, what a way to start out. It's not going to be more than an hour, but you think it'd be a good time to pray? It'd be a good time to challenge ourselves. I hate New Year's Eve. There's idiots that are out there. That's why I don't want to be out late. But I hope and pray you can make it. And if you can't, and you want a copy of my notes, you can have them. No problem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for opportunities to seek out in your life, in your word, what we ought to have, what we can have in thee. I pray that you would, Lord, give wisdom, be with these folks. Lord, bring us back Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Lord, to hear out your word. Lord, this next year, we will struggle. There'll be tough times. We maybe won't have everything down that we desire to. But Lord, you've brought us so far. You've taught us so much. And there are people that are sitting in this room right now that have seen victories because of you. Not because of self-help books, but because of the book that speaks of the very God of gods. So Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged in you. And we thank you that in your word, we have every answer we need. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.